The opinions and ideas conveyed in this podcast are intended for informational purposes only. Always consult a physician concerning changes to diet, exercise, or general health concerns.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Change the Subject. We're diving into a topic that might make you a little uneasy when those tiny lifesavers we call stents decide to, shift. You know, imagine your arteries as these massive highways for your blood pumping through, and every now and then you get some traffic jams. Well, that's where stents step in, like these little scaffolds, you know, keeping everything open and the blood flowing smoothly. But what happens when those scaffolds get a little wobbly?
Yeah, that's when things can get a little, well, hairy, to be honest. A shifted stent can be a real problem, you know, especially because they play such an important role in keeping that blood flow going strong.
Okay, so let's break it down a bit.
Yeah.
What exactly are we talking about when we say stent shifting? And why is it such a big deal?
So stent shifting, or sometimes you'll hear it called migration, it basically means that the stent has moved out of place. It's like you put that tiny scaffold in there all nice and neat, you know, to support the artery walls, but then for whatever reason, it decides to slip or move. And that can cause all sorts of issues.
Right. It makes sense. If it's not where it's supposed to be, it can't exactly do its job now, can it? But why do they shift in the first place? Is it like a loose screw or something?
Well, it's not quite as simple as a loose screw, but there are a few culprits that can contribute to stent shifting. Sometimes it's the initial placement you see. If the stent isn't the right size, or if it's not expanded enough during the procedure, it might be more likely to move around later on. It's like trying to build a house on shaky ground, you know? It's just not going to be as stable.
Gotcha. Shaky foundation.
Hmm.
What else can cause these problems?
Well, you have to remember that arteries aren't just static tunnels. There's a lot of pressure from that constant blood flow, especially in the larger arteries, and that can really put stress on the stent. Things like intense physical activity, some medical conditions, or even just the body's natural healing process can also contribute to shifting.
Wait a minute. The body trying to heal itself can actually make things worse.
Not always, but sometimes. As the tissue around the stent begins to heal and remodel, it can actually create pressure that kind of pushes or pulls on the stent, and that can make it shift. It's like if the ground around that house foundation starts to settle, you know. Sometimes it settles evenly, but sometimes it causes problems.
So we've got the shaky foundation, pressure from blood flow, and even the healing process working against us. It sounds like a recipe for disaster. But let's get practical for a second. How would you even know if your stent had shifted? Are there any warning signs?
That's a really good question. The tricky part is that the symptoms of a shifted stent can be pretty subtle and easy to mistake for other things. You know, you might experience shortness of breath, fatigue, or just feel a little off in general.
Hmm. Those are pretty general. Are there any more specific red flags to look out for?
Well, there are, but they tend to be specific to where the stent is located. So, for example, if it's a stent in a coronary artery, which supplies blood to the heart, you might experience chest pain like angina, or even feel like you're having a heart attack. If it's a stent in the digestive system, you might see changes in your bowel movements or have some abdominal pain.
So basically, if you're experiencing anything out of the ordinary after having a stent placed, especially in the same area where the stent is, it's probably a good idea to get checked out by your doctor.
Yeah.
But let's talk worst case scenario here. What are the most serious risks if a stent actually does shift?
We're potentially talking about life-threatening complications. The biggest concern is that the shifted stent could block blood flow to vital organs. Now, if that happens in the heart, it could lead to a heart attack or even heart failure if it's not dealt with quickly.
That's pretty scary. And I imagine the location of the shift plays a big role in how serious things can get.
Absolutely. Another frightening possibility, no matter where the stent is that it could become completely dislodged and turn into what we call an embolus, which is basically a traveling blood clot that can lodge itself in a smaller blood vessel somewhere else in the body, and that can cut off blood supply and cause serious damage.
Oh, wow. So it's not just about the original spot where the stent was.
Yeah.
This thing can basically go on a road trip and wreak havoc in other places.
Unfortunately, yes.
Uh-huh.
And depending on where it is, a shifted stent can also damage or even perforate the surrounding tissues. For instance, imagine a stent in the digestive system poking a hole through the intestinal wall. That's a surgical emergency waiting to happen.
This is serious stuff.
Yeah.
So how do doctors figure out if a stent has shifted? It's not like they can just peek in there and see it, right?
That's where medical imaging comes into play. X-rays and CT scans can give doctors a general overview and help them see where the stent is located. But for heart stents, the gold standard is what we call angiography. That involves injecting a special dye that shows up on x-rays, and then we can take images of those blood vessels. Ultrasound can also be helpful for stents that are closer to the surface.
So it's kind of like detective work, using these different tools to track down that rogue stent. But let's say they find it and it's out of place. What happens then? What are the options?
Well, that really depends on each individual situation. Sometimes, if the shift is minor, doctors might be able to reposition the stent using a minimally invasive procedure. It's basically a little adjustment to get it back on track.
So like a tune-up for the scaffold.
Precisely. Hmm. But sometimes a little nudge isn't enough. If the original stent isn't stable enough, they might need to implant a second stent to reinforce it. It's like adding extra support beams to that shaky foundation we talked about.
Double the stents, double the security. But what if things are really bad? What happens then?
In the worst cases, surgery might be the only option. And that could involve removing the shifted stent and repairing any damage that's been done. Obviously, it's a much more invasive approach, but sometimes it's the only way to prevent further complications.
Surgery sounds pretty intense. Are there any other options if surgery isn't possible?
Well, if surgery isn't an option, doctors might focus on managing the symptoms and minimizing the risk of further problems with medications. It's not a perfect solution, but it can be helpful in some cases.
So it sounds like there's a whole range of possibilities, but it seems like repairing a shifted stent is a complex and potentially risky procedure. Can you walk us through just how challenging those repairs can actually be?
Of course. We have to remember that we're dealing with incredibly delicate structures here. Arteries are like those intricate pipelines we talked about earlier, and working inside them requires a very high level of precision and expertise.
I can only imagine. So it's not just about putting the stent back in its place. It's also about making sure the repair itself doesn't cause more damage.
Exactly. And the location of the stent adds another layer of complexity. For example, repairing a shifted stent in the heart is far more delicate than repairing one in a leg artery.
I guess it's like the difference between fixing a leaky faucet and rewiring an entire electrical system. You know, there are just so many things that could go wrong.
That's a great analogy. The risks associated with these repairs can be quite significant.
What kind of risks are we talking about here?
Well, there's always the risk of bleeding, infection, or damage to surrounding tissues during the procedure itself. And even with a successful repair, there's a chance the stent could shift again later on.
So it's not always a guaranteed fix.
Unfortunately not. That's why prevention is so important. If we can avoid the need for repair altogether, that's always the best outcome.
This has been incredibly insightful, but I think we've given our listeners a lot to digest today. Maybe it's time to take a break and pick up this conversation in part two of our show.
I agree. It's important for everyone to have a chance to process all this information.
Great. We'll be back soon to wrap up our discussion on stents and stent shifting. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back, everyone. Before the break, we were discussing just how tricky it can be to repair a shifted stent and all the potential risks involved. Hmm. And it's important to keep in mind that not all stents are the same.
That's right. You mentioned different types of stents earlier, like bare metal and drug-eluting stents. Can you tell us a bit more about those and how they factor into this whole shifting issue?
Absolutely. So bare metal stents, or BMS for short, are like the OG stents. Think of them as this tiny, meticulously woven metal tube that's inserted into the narrowed artery to prop it open. They're super effective at first, but they can be a bit prone to the artery narrowing again over time, which we call restenosis.
So they're like the classic scaffold, sturdy, but maybe a bit susceptible to rust or debris buildup over time.
That's a pretty good way to think about it. Now, drug-eluting stents, or DES, were created to tackle that issue of restenosis. They've got this special coating that releases medication slowly into the artery wall, and that helps prevent the excessive cell growth that can cause that re-narrowing.
So it's like a deluxe scaffold with a built-in sealant to keep things clear.
Exactly. And because of that drug coating, DES have become the go-to choice for a lot of procedures. However, they do come with their own set of considerations. For instance, the medication can sometimes slow down the healing process in the artery, which could slightly increase the risk of things like blood clots.
Okay, so there's a trade-off then.
Mm-hmm.
Lower risk of that re-narrowing, but maybe a slightly higher chance of other complications. It sounds like choosing the right type of stent is a bit of a balancing act.
It definitely is. Doctors take a lot of factors into account when making this decision, including the patient's overall health, the location of the blockage, and the potential risks and benefits of each type of stent.
That makes sense. It's not a one-size-fits-all situation.
Yeah.
So we've talked about what can go wrong and the different types of stents, but let's shift gears a bit and talk about prevention. What can be done during that initial procedure to make sure the stent stays put and does what it's supposed to do?
That's a really important point. Proper sizing and placement are absolutely essential. Doctors use these advanced imaging techniques to carefully measure the artery and choose a stent that fits just right. They also have specialized tools and techniques to ensure the stent is deployed accurately and expanded fully to create a secure fit.
So it's like finding a perfectly tailored suit for your artery. No wrinkles or bunching allowed.
Precisely. The goal is to create a seamless transition between the stent and the artery wall, and that minimizes the risk of any movement.
And what about after the procedure? What can patients do to help prevent their stent from shifting?
Following your doctor's instructions to the letter is key. This might mean restrictions on certain activities or exercises, especially in those first few weeks after the procedure. Avoiding things like heavy lifting, strenuous workouts, or anything that could put a lot of stress on the stent is crucial.
So it's time to take it easy and let your body recover properly. What about in the long term? Are there any lifestyle changes that can help?
Maintaining a healthy lifestyle is always a good idea, especially if you have a stent. This means things like eating a balanced diet, getting regular exercise as your doctor allows, and managing any underlying health conditions like high blood pressure or diabetes.
So it's all about keeping those arteries happy and healthy. But let's circle back to those repairs for a moment. You've given us a pretty clear picture of just how complex they can be. Can you elaborate on what exactly makes these procedures so challenging?
Of course. First and foremost, the size and the delicate nature of the arteries themselves are a major challenge. We're talking about really tiny, fragile structures, often less than a few millimeters wide. Imagine trying to perform surgery on something as thin as a spaghetti noodle.
Wow, that really puts it into perspective. I'm guessing the location of the stent also adds to the complexity?
Absolutely. Accessing different areas of the body and navigating through a network of blood vessels to get to that shifted stent can be incredibly difficult. For instance, repairing a stent in the heart requires highly specialized instruments and techniques to work within the beating heart without disrupting blood flow.
It sounds like a pretty high-stakes operation.
It definitely is. And then there's the potential for complications during the procedure itself. Things like bleeding infection damage to nearby tissues, those are all risks that surgeons have to carefully manage.
So not only are these procedures extremely difficult, but they also come with a lot of risk.
That's right. And sometimes, even with the most skilled surgeon and the best technology available, there's still a chance that the stent might shift again down the road. That's why prevention and early detection are so crucial.
It sounds like the medical field is constantly looking for ways to improve stents and make these repairs less complicated. Are there any promising advancements on the horizon?
Oh, absolutely. There are some really exciting things happening in stent technology that are directly addressing these challenges. For example, researchers are working on something called bioabsorbable stents, which are designed to basically dissolve over time once the artery has healed.
Wow, so it's like a temporary scaffold that just disappears when it's done its job?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds pretty amazing.
Yeah, it really has the potential to change the game when it comes to stent treatment. By getting rid of that permanent implant, we could potentially reduce the long-term risks that come with stents, including, you know, that risk of shifting.
That's incredible. So it seems like the future of stents is looking pretty bright, with fewer complications and hopefully fewer of those nerve-wracking repairs. But let's come back to the present for a minute. We've covered a lot today, from what stents are and how they work, to the potential risks and the challenges of fixing a shifted stent. What are some of the key takeaways you want our listeners to remember?
I think the most important thing to remember is that stents are generally very safe and effective devices that have helped countless people. While there's always a chance of shifting, it's relatively rare, and medical professionals are constantly working to minimize those risks.
That's good to hear.
Secondly, I can't emphasize enough how important it is to have open communication with your doctor. If you're thinking about getting a stent procedure, ask questions. Make sure you understand the potential risks and benefits and that you're comfortable with the treatment plan. And if you've already had a stent placed, pay attention to any unusual symptoms and don't hesitate to reach out to your doctor if you have any concerns.
Absolutely. It's all about being an informed and proactive patient.
Exactly. And lastly, remember that a healthy lifestyle can go a long way in preventing complications, including stent shifting. Taking care of your heart health is essentially like supporting those tiny scaffolds and helping them do their job.
Well said. So to wrap things up, stents are these amazing little devices that can make a huge difference in people's lives. And while there's a possibility of them shifting, it's not very common and often preventable. The key is to stay informed, talk to your doctor, and embrace a healthy lifestyle. Before we go, I want to leave our listeners with something to think about. Knowing what we know now about how complicated it can be to repair a shifted stent, how might this information change how you approach prevention? Would you be more careful about following your doctor's orders, maintaining a healthy lifestyle, or maybe even looking into the latest advancements in STEM technology?
That's a really great question to consider. It ultimately comes down to taking charge of your own health and making informed decisions that align with your values and priorities.
I couldn't agree more. A huge thank you to our expert for sharing their knowledge and insights with us today. It's been an incredibly enlightening conversation. And to our listeners, thanks for joining us on To Change the Subject. Until next time, stay curious and stay well.